This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. New Beginnings topics include end-of-life concerns, health of mind, body, and spirit, housing, finance, and your career. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell, and I'm so happy to be with you this weekend. We have a really hot show for you this weekend, and I hope that you're ready to take a few notes and maybe record. And also, you can go to my website, freddiebell.com, if you miss any portion of the show, and you can listen to the podcast to stay up to date. Right now, I'd like to welcome to the program the individual who is our career expert. He's been with us for a long time, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders, and I'm sure he'll expand on that because our topic this weekend is one that you don't want to miss. 763-438-1621 is how you can reach Mr. McKenzie. And welcome and good morning, sir.
Good morning, Freddie Bell. Welcome to October. Can you believe that?
My goodness. The colors on the trees are turning, and this is the time of the year. I'm telling you what. So let's talk about the importance of keeping in touch with your bench of advocates. And before we begin, let's give a definition of bench of advocates.
Yes, and I'm proud to say that that's something that I've coined, because I do think when we have a bench of advocates, the people that know us, the people that listen to us, the people that see the potential in us, and the people that champion us, and vice versa, we see that in them as well, where we can be a resource to them. Those are our bench of advocates. Freddie, I know we've talked about this for years, but it is important to keep our advocates updated on where we're at, because now we give ourselves an opportunity to maybe help them, or they could help us. And that's why I want to dedicate a very simple strategy, or at least a mindset, of keeping in touch with your bench of advocates, Freddie. If your advocates don't know what you're struggling with, or you don't know what they're struggling with, how can you be an advocate to each other, right?
Exactly. So advocates, are these the people that you don't have a problem talking with? Are these the people that you confide in who know more about you than most other folks?
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. I couldn't frame it any better than that, Freddie Bell. I know that I consider you one of the key people on my bench. And because I've been able to talk with you, have regular contact with you, I've grown because of our regular contact, our conversations. And I hope I brought value to your career and so forth and what you want to do. And that's an example of an advocate.
Absolutely.
But we have a bench of them, people in different areas of our lives. But really that core is that listening, that champion, that understanding, and the advocacy of how we can help each other. And it goes both ways, right? That's how I see it.
We're talking about the importance of keeping in touch with your bench of advocates. Joe has laid the groundwork for what a bench of advocates is. So what are a few manageable strategies that you would suggest, Joe McKenzie, that might help someone to stay in regular contact with an advocate?
I think the key word here is manageable. We're living in a busy world. We've got a lot going on. But a manageable strategy is just embrace the technology that we have at our disposal. 25 years ago, we did not have social media. We did not have the ability to carry often a portable phone around with texting. Use technology to your advantage. Freddie, you send me a short note every once in a while, and I respond, and all of a sudden we're communicating, right?
That's right.
It's not that we have to drive across town and try to arrange a coffee meeting, and that's the only way that we could ever communicate with each other. No. You know, I think LinkedIn messaging, the capabilities give everybody with the sound of my voice the ability to communicate with your advocates, or obviously through the phone and texting. But, you know, Freddie, if I write an article and I wanted to share it with you, I don't have to figure out where's my stamp, where's my envelope. I copy the link and send it LinkedIn messaging to you. All of a sudden, Freddie, what do you think? All of a sudden, you're going, that's great. I didn't know that you could write that well, or were a subject content expert on that. All of a sudden, I'm keeping in touch with you, and you know what I'm up to, right?
Exactly.
That is an example of keeping in regular touch with your bench of advocates. If they know what you're working on, or if you know what they're working on, you've always told me this, Freddie, imagine the possibilities. And if your advocates don't know what you're up against or up to or working on, how can they advocate for you? And vice versa, how can we advocate for someone, listen to them, et cetera, without regular contact, right?
Regular contact. So how would you define regular contact? You gave an example of writing an article. Is it that you pick up the phone every week or you every month? Or is there, what is the cadence for this type of regular contact?
That is a great question. And I think everybody's going to look at their advocates, you know, differently. And what is regular contact for me and you, because we collaborate so often, I think once a week is helpful for us to stay in a collaborative mindset. Agreed?
I do agree with that. There are a lot of benefits that have come from it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know that. We both know that. But for someone that, you know, you're not collaborating with as often, you maybe even on a quarterly basis or semi-annual, think of all the people that that are advocates that we've lost track of, that 2, 3, 4 years go by and you haven't talked to someone. That's not regular contact in my book. I think everybody should define what is a natural progression or cadence, as you say, and connections, reconnecting with someone, I should say. I would listen to your gut on that one, and go from there. Case by case basis, definitely for regular keeping in touch.
Exactly. So I was saying that one size does not fit all for the staying in touch with that bench of advocates. You have to understand who's in front of you and then measure your or set your cadence accordingly for that individual.
Absolutely. And I should say, Freddie, even though we speak on a weekly basis and I speak to other people maybe on a quarterly or semi-annual, a true advocate, when you pick up the phone or you message them, often it's like no time has gone by, right?
That's correct.
It's not a stranger that you're contacting. It's someone that they know what you've been doing. But this regular contact and the benefits, long-term benefits, are obviously that they give you an opportunity to help them, and they maybe help you, or just one piece of information that makes you better, or it gives you an opportunity. Again, what you told me 6 years ago, imagine the possibilities when we first sat down for coffee. Imagine the possibilities of me and you collaborating the last 6 years, helping people we never meet. You said it, I believed you, and we have delivered. Well, think about that when you keep in regular contact with your bench of advocates. Imagine the possibilities of future collaboration or who you could help or how you could grow, how you help them grow.
How is it best to communicate with your bench of advocates, Joe McKenzie?
I think whatever way is a more of a natural, organic feel to it. I know that me and you will text each other, send something via Twitter, what have you. But often there are people that maybe are more in tune with the phone call. I don't think there's a best. You figure out what's best for you in regards to how that person communicates. I have some of the greatest conversations in the world via the phone, but I also have some very engaging conversations via messaging or what have you. And obviously, you know, in a post-COVID world, getting back to having a cup of coffee with someone is ideal as well.
Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie. We're talking about the importance of keeping in touch with your bench of advocates. These are the people who know you the very best. So talk about, I just kind of touched on it, the methodology for staying in contact. What does technology do for you? How does it, how are you leveraging technology to keep that regular contact going?
Efficiencies, keyword efficiencies. I know that often I work, and I've talked about this, how human beings work in bursts of energy, bursts of activity. I can communicate with a half a dozen of my advocates in a given morning because I get in that technology of communicating with them. Maybe that is that article that I wanted to share with someone, and I share it with 5 advocates, and I have the technology at my disposal to get that information shared. Efficiencies, but also it's good time management, obviously, to embrace that technology. And that's really how I see it. It's not as choppy in the days of, okay, I'll send you that article. Where's that letter? Where's that stamp? No, we have that technology to stay in regular contact. We can send people our podcast, Freddie Bell, and all of a sudden, hey, tell me what you think about this segment. 25 years ago, could we ever imagine sending the power of a file that has our voices talking about how we can help someone in their career? No. The technology is there today to send our podcast, the New Beginnings podcast, to anybody we know. Use that as an example of how you keep people in touch, how you can help somebody in their career transition. They don't necessarily have to hear it live, but what we're talking about transcends in the Twin Cities and goes out into the world.
We challenge you, technology, and we invite you to use our technology. Go to freddiebell.com, download the podcast, send it to a friend of yours, one of the people on your bench of advocates, and watch the magic start to happen. Joe, you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And our show continues right now.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan, administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guides, simple checklists, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP job board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And, of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
As we turn our attention to your health, we're talking with Chris Erisman. She is the director of the Minnesota Department of Health Infectious Disease Epidemiology Prevention and Control Division. A long title, but Chris, we can't thank you enough for being with us. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to join you.
Holiday celebrations during COVID-19. We know that Thanksgiving is on the way, a time for gathering with family and friends and so forth. But I'm wondering if there are special dispensations for families and friends trying to get together during the holidays that might be different than what we're doing right now with social distancing and limiting the crowd space.
I think that we recognize that holidays are so important to all of us in our families, both some are, you know, expressions of our faith or our culture. And so we want to be sensitive to that. But given the high level of viral spread that we're seeing across the state, we know that we really have to still be cautious when we think about our holidays. So I think what we want to do is we want to recognize that there are choices that we can make that have differing levels of risk. And so, you know, obviously the choice with the least amount of risk is staying in your bedroom by yourself. But we recognize that's not practical for people. So if you'd like, I could certainly share some things that you could do to kind of minimize the stress as you plan for the holidays.
Sure. Let's take through those. Everyone, we're talking with Chris Erisman, director of MDH and their infectious diseases and epidemiology. And so you mentioned at the outset, Chris, staying at home, is that highly recommended, or what would you suggest when you're thinking about gatherings? Just cancel the gatherings, or what do you suggest?
I think one thing you want to do is think about your personal health situation or the health situation of your family members. So if you have an elderly family member or someone who has really a delicate health situation, I think you really want to think seriously about whether or not they should be physically present at your event. Now, obviously, it's distressing for people to not be part of things. So you have to weigh that into the mix. But you want to make sure that you're considering who could be at highest risk for really severe complications from COVID. And so overall, we'd say, you know, first off, if you don't feel well, you know, then, yeah, you should stay home. So even if you really want to go to Thanksgiving, but all of a sudden you're coming down with something, don't go. Don't share that. The other thing is to make sure that you're keeping gatherings small. And I know this is really hard because oftentimes Thanksgiving or other holidays, it's an opportunity for very extended families to get together. And, you know, you're looking forward to a particular aunt's dish and somebody else brings some other special thing and you just bring everybody together
right,
for the giant potluck. And that we would really discourage. We'd say if you're going to get together and celebrate, do it with a smaller group size. So probably 10 or fewer people, and try to limit the number of households that you're bringing together. So, you know, just a couple of households rather than, you know, six different families.
Interesting. So with that, just think about that for a second. So what if these different households have all had the temperature checked, everyone is negative in their family? Would that guideline still hold firm, Chris?
Here's the challenge. Testing is really a useful tool, but it's only good for the day you're tested. So I could have been exposed to COVID and test negative today and think, oh, I'm really good. Now I'm going to go get together with everybody in 3 days. And that could have been enough time for me to develop COVID and be infectious. So we want people to be really cautious about how they interpret that. But I know that there are people who they have created what we call their COVID bubble. So in other words, you know, they say, look, I'm going to be careful, but I'm going to limit myself to this group of people. These are the only people I'm going to see. That's what we're kind of looking for as you plan for your holidays, is stick to smaller groups, stick to your COVID bubble. If these are people that you've been seeing, then, you know, keep it small. The other thing that you can do is when you're, and if you could be outside, that would be great, but the weather probably isn't going to be amenable to that.
Still,
but wear a mask when you're inside, and do continue to social distance. Those things will help even as you're getting together with people.
What about the food sharing and so forth? I was watching a political commentary and I saw dishes under glass. Do we need to go to that extent, or what would be your suggestion about the food sharing aspect of the holiday gathering?
Well, the safest thing to do would be if each person brought their own food and drinks. But I think the key is you don't want to share utensils or drinking cups. So if you're having a shared meal, you know, make sure that you're not sharing utensils, that you're not sharing drinking cups. And if it's possible to have people bring their own food, that would be the best, although that can be sort of hard when you think about Thanksgiving, just because of what it represents and how we do the food for that meal.
Interesting. What about travel? I know that should we be discouraging our family and friends from traveling from across state lines to join us for these holiday gatherings? Or should we say, well, look, let's just do this next year. Let's see what the data says and take it from there. Or what would be a more practical suggestion?
Well, traveling certainly increases the chance of getting and spreading COVID-19. And particularly, you know, if you're traveling out of state, if you're going through airports, all of those things. So I think if you have a situation in which you have loved ones who are out of state, this would probably be the year to say, you know what, let's get together on Zoom and let's plan for next year. Just because that increases your risk so much more. So I think that that's something to think about and talk through with your family.
Well, everyone, Chris is with us this week from the Minnesota Department of Health. I'm going back to Thanksgiving for a second, and you mentioned something about the lower risk activities, the smaller dinners and so forth. What about shopping online? And I thought that was interesting. I saw a notice from the health department about shopping online, and I thought that was pretty interesting.
Right. We generally don't, we're not encouraging people to shop necessarily, but if you need to make choices, and I know that for many families, you know, there are multiple sales. And so spending some time after Thanksgiving to do shopping for the upcoming holidays is often part of your ritual. And so our encouragement is rather than going to a crowded retail location, look at what you can do online, and perhaps you can still bag those great deals, but do it in the safety of your home with those loved ones that you have chosen to spend your time with.
I know the Amazons of the world are loving hearing that from you this morning, Chris. Go online and shop. Do you have a final thought about what we can do to keep ourselves safe during this holiday season that I didn't ask? Because I know it's a broad range, and MDH does have resources online at your website. What would you share as a final thought on this particular topic of holiday gatherings?
First of all, I'll just mention that I absolutely understand, as people are thinking about this and kind of wrestling with what to do, I understand, because I'm kind of doing the same thing myself. And I think the important messages are limit the number of people that you're going to be spending time with, mask, and try to keep social distance while you're together. So, you know, do those things to make the indoor space and indoor interactions as safe as possible. And then make sure that you're not sharing utensils or drinking glasses. And all of those things will make a difference. Obviously, any interactions offer some risk. But if you're doing things that can minimize that, that will make for a much happier holiday.
Great. I mentioned resources. Where can we go if we like just a step-by-step guide, if that's possible, from the MDH?
If you go to our website, which is www.mdh.gov, and then COVID is the absolute primary thing there that you see. And if you click on that, that will take you to a bunch of resources related to COVID, both on our site as well as on the Centers for Disease Control site.
All right. Chris Hirschman with us this morning on New Beginnings, Director of Minnesota Department of Health, Infectious Disease and Epidemiology, Prevention and Control Division. I've only said that twice today, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Spokesman. Hey ladies, have you ever wanted a place where you could network, shop, eat, laugh, and learn? Sister Spokesman is that place. Held the first Saturday of every month, Sister Spokesman takes place from 12 to 4 p.m. at various locations throughout the Twin Cities. And it's sponsored by the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. Vendor opportunities are also available. For more information, 612-827-4021 or online at spokesman-recorder.com.
Sister Spokesman.
Are you tired of the extra weight? Are you fed up with smoking? Is fear running your life? Do you feel stuck? Well, keep listening. Call 952-222-3975 or visit westmetrohypnosis.com. Hypnosis feels really good and is very effective in getting results. Remember, 952-222-3975, West Metro Hypnosis, empowering you to master your life.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And with me right now is AARP's Volunteer Executive Council member, Anthony Taylor. And Anthony, good morning and welcome to New Beginnings.
Good morning, Freddie. How are you? Good to be here.
Unbelievable. I'm happy to be talking with you. And you're here to talk about Age-Friendly Livable Conference. It sounds really interesting. What is the Age-Friendly Livable Conference, Anthony?
Well, you know, I think many people know AARP and they wait for the thing that comes in the mail or they think about the discounts. But AARP is actually really the largest non-political advocacy organization in the country. And what we really do are representing communities broadly. And so what we're really doing is hoping that during this time, we're working to meet the challenges and embrace this opportunity. So we hope people will join AARP for the free conference on November 17th and 18th. It's a virtual conference, and it's really looking at age-friendly communities in Minnesota. I think really for the audience, you know, here, when we really look specifically at the African-American community, and there's a tremendous amount of things going on in terms of redevelopment of our cities, and looking at the impacted areas, especially after George Floyd. It is a great opportunity for us to redevelop and rebuild those communities around an age-friendly focus that really includes safe, walkable streets, age-friendly, intergenerational housing, inclusive, and multifaceted mobility and transportation options, and really looking at access for needed services. We really see this as an opportunity for all residents and residents of all ages to participate in community life. This conference is for all Minnesotans who want to learn more on how they can play a role in creating more livable, age-friendly, intergenerational communities in our state. This conferencing will include sessions on resilient communities. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to hear from local age-friendly communities around the state. And I think what's interesting is that there's a much stronger connection between the needs and desires and aspirations of our central urban communities and rural communities, especially from an equity and inclusion perspective. That you'll be able to really find out ways that you can be involved, that we're looking for ways to show people of all ages how they can play a role in this community effort. Really also, you can learn more about the network of age-friendly communities across Minnesota and really across the country. We're going to do an innovation showcase, which is going to do quick-hitting actions to improve community livability. And again, these are things that we will be able to put into action in our communities as re-engage and redevelop them. And really, I think right now what I'm excited about is how we can help the community expand its imagination and possibilities for itself. And I think, again, right now we have a number of opportunities for that. We're also actively working to have Minnesota designated an age-friendly state. And then you can kind of hear information from Governor Walz and really on the Governor's Council. And I've been appointed as a representative of the Governor's Council as well. We are actively working on that towards more equitable communities. So you can register at aarp.org/MN.
Okay, that website once again, Anthony?
It's aarp.org/MN.
And if you were to say one thing that we should be listening for as we join the virtual conference, what would that be? What is one thing that we should be trying to take away when we get together with you on the 17th?
You know, I think the big thing is, I think particularly, you know, if this is the audience that I know that really loves their community, one of the things that has not always been clear, Freddie, is this idea of as we redevelop our communities, we are also developing them with active living in the center. You know what I mean? That we are building communities that are walkable, that are bikeable, that are connected. And you know, right now, a couple of the big topics on the agenda are Upper Harbor Terminal, Above the Falls, River First. You know, really, there's a redevelopment project going on in North Commons. And so the way that we redevelop green space is central to how we redevelop communities around being healthy and being active. So I'd like people to listen for how that opportunity exists for them to be engaged in their communities, because, you know, we've got a number of major projects going on that are deeply important along 38th Street corridor, along Lake Street, along Broadway, and along Franklin Avenue in all of our communities.
That's Anthony Taylor, AARP Volunteer Executive Council member, talking about the Age-Friendly Livable Conference happening on the 17th of November. And this is New Beginnings.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
Now it's time to visit with Kelly Von Heidekamp. She is the founder of West Metro Hypnosis. She's been with us for a long time and really connects with our audience. If you'd like to reach her, you can by telephone at 952-222-3975. Also, you can visit Kelly online at westmetrohypnosis.com. Kelly, it's time for yet another Mindful Reset.
Oh, it's always my pleasure to be here with you and our listeners, Freddie. And it is time for our 4-minute mindful reset. So everyone, wherever you are, whatever you are doing, let's just take these moments to come into your beingness. And if it's safe and appropriate for you to do so, you may close your eyes. It's just as easy to go deep and relax, even with eyes open. So whatever you're doing right now, just give yourself a moment of pause to breathe in deeply, using your breath to activate the relaxation response of the body. And as you exhale out, just let all of your muscles in the body slump down, become soft and loose and limp. If you're driving, you can feel the muscles of the back of your neck and your shoulders drop down just a little bit, even as you pay attention to the road and keep your eyes and hands exactly where they need to be. If you're in the kitchen engaged with something, you can still invite your body into relaxation, becoming softer, looser, limper. You can use these moments to just stand and gather in internal resources. And knowing that this week of election, so much is now finished, done. We move into a time of transition for our country. And whatever you think of the results, you can just put all of that aside for a few minutes and you can simply be aware of your own beingness. You can make the assertion of being in this time of transition, moving away from one thing and moving towards another. And whatever this means for you, you can make a choice right here, right now, that you will show up in beneficial ways, that you will be a person who uses their words, and their thoughts, and their actions in loving, thoughtful, kind ways, regardless of what the political landscape looks like. We as individuals can all make the choice right here, right now, to support each other as a country, reminding ourselves of everything that we have in common and knowing that there will be things that we do not agree on. Breathing that in right now, just letting it land in your body. And feeling what it feels like to make these conscious choices, to decide to let go of negative thoughts, feelings, behaviors, to decide to be a person of inclusivity, to decide to move forward with thoughtfulness and kindness. Because it has a beneficial effect, not only on everyone else, but mostly on you.
So thank you for being here for this 4-minute reset.
And you're listening to New Beginnings.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
And with us now, we're joined by the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, the Kitty Harris. The address there is 1015 4th Avenue North. If you'd like to reach Kitty by phone, it is 612-344-2221. Good morning and welcome, Kitty Harris.
Good morning, Freddie. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Glad to be with you, too. And I know that there's a lot going on. COVID has impacted so many things, not only in our communities, but around the world. What is the community engagement plan now for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center as you see it?
Yes, so as COVID-19 continues to wreak havoc on our lives, we at Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center have been trying to find a way that we can successfully engage with the community to not only make sure that we continue to establish that relationship with our seniors, but also to see what is it that we as an organization can do to provide, to not only continue to provide the existing services that we have, but also just to make sure that we're actively fulfilling the needs and the expectations of the community with us being a health and wellness facility.
Wow. So what does that look like? How are you going to make that type of ascertainment and connect with the community to get that kind of data?
So one of the hardest things to do when you're trying to get data from seniors in a COVID world is realizing that there is this digital divide, that seniors don't have readily access to the technology that we are using, where we can jump on a Zoom meeting or we can have a virtual town hall. And so our challenge has been figuring out how can we bring seniors together in a safe way, socially distanced, in order to get that feedback in a focus group kind of like setting to let them know. And so here in lovely Minnesota, two things are kind of like I would call the gate that's kind of blocking me right now. We're rolling into the winter months, and typically this is when we see our seniors start to hunker down and they kind of wait, you know, it slips and falls and different things like that, and they don't want to be outside. So I'm working with some of the local community organizations, Heritage Park Neighborhood Organization, Urban Strategies, some of the Glenwood Sumner organizations, to see how we can engage this community and figure out how we can continue to have the conversations with the residents that as we go through these winter months, how can we support them? But it's winter, but it's still COVID. And so there's a different level of isolation that's happening. And so we're starting that conversation by just meeting with different stakeholders right now and seeing what the immediate need is of our seniors.
I know a big focal point of the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, Kitty, has always been the Great Room. And any immediate plans for the Great Room at this time, or is that on lockdown as well?
The Great Room, unfortunately, we are still no longer having any of our community programming events, although it is over 2,000 square feet. It's just not feasible right now to bring our residents together for our bingo and our holiday gatherings and different things like that. And so we are, without having that space available, we're all now trying to look for ways where we can engage people because we also can't go into the traditional community rooms or community meeting spaces because smaller gatherings are also starting to be limited. So it is a challenging it's a challenging task, but we're definitely up for it because we want to make sure we're all experiencing COVID fatigue. But we want to make sure that during this time, our seniors do not have a further decline with the COVID fatigue and the social isolation that comes with the general winter months. And so we're just going to continue to, like I said, have those conversations with stakeholders and see what that immediate need is. And we are asking if there are people in the community that are willing to help be a part of this conversation. If they would, you know, like to figure out ways to help us help our seniors, they can certainly give me a call directly at 612-344-2209. They can also reach out to me via our Facebook page, which is under Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, or they can find us at mphaonline.org under Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center.
Well said, Kitty, and we wish you nothing but the best as you make this ascertainment in our community. You're listening to New Beginnings, and our program continues right now. As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
It's a feeling of the heart when we in this life face times of troubled waters, not only for ourselves, but for those for whom we care. I just received word this morning that one of my friends back in Missouri who attended my church there and is now in a care facility has been moved to isolation, for they fear she has the coronavirus. And so my heart goes out to her in prayer. There's nothing that I can physically do, but I can stand and witness to her ongoing life and power as she moves through this process. Another friend close to my heart, back in the Northeast, like so many in this country, overnight lost income, has nothing coming in as business shut down, and he's in a service industry that simply cannot function under the current social distancing policy. And again, I found I had a choice. I could hold him in thoughts of worry and despair, or I could choose to hold him in a prayer that sees a higher power that will in time lead him into prosperity. There's an old 19th century hymn. Actually, it was written about the same time that Unity got its start in 1889. Its lyric begins, "Throw out the lifeline across the dark wave. There is a brother whom someone should save. Throw out the lifeline. Someone's drifting away." It's a call to altruism or the willingness to help others in dangerous situations. Our world today is heroic with first responders and caregivers who risk their own safety in order to save those in danger of COVID-19. No doubt they are throwing out the lifeline to other lines of help and power. However, my topic today concerns those invisible, silent lifelines we can throw out to those in trouble. Traditionally, such lifelines are called prayer. But before some of you may envision folded hands, closed eyes, a bowing or kneeling posture, I want to turn our attention to a contemporary well-known chant. Our thoughts are prayers, and we are always praying. Our thoughts are prayers. Listen to what you're saying. Last week, if you joined us for service, our speaker, Kelly von Heidenkopf, ask us to consider our prayers very simply. Are our prayers a prayer of no or a prayer of yes? And so I'd like to develop this idea today. Whether you call it prayer or meditation or a spiritual practice or simply the thoughts you are holding in mind hour by hour, day by day, consider. Are they prayers of yes and affirmation and hope and power? Or are they prayers of no? Now, prayers of no can be helpful when they are seen as a prayer of letting go. No, I will no longer hold to that idea. But the more powerful prayer is the affirmative thought that sees the power of life within us, that sees a power that can sustain us and lead us through these experiences that we call the human life. So today we will not be exploring methods of prayer, nor the history of prayer within religious traditions. Instead, I'd like us to consider the potential and the effects of a consciousness and consistent pattern of thought that Unity calls prayer. In the beginning of our Unity tradition, I believe there was a balanced presentation of the practice of prayer for one's own inner development and as a blessing that we extended to others. One of our longest activities in the Unity movement is our international prayer ministry known as Silent Unity. It began in 1890 as an invitation to people to come together and hold a focused thought. The thought was published by Unity's monthly magazine, Unity, so everybody knew what the focus would be. And people who were willing gathered at noon and again at 9 p.m. each day to collectively join in that thought of silent unity, that oneness found in prayer. The thought, later described as a prayer of affirmation or release, was a benefit to the individual and to lift the collective consciousness of humanity. In other words, it was a thought that linked the individual and the collective with a truth principle, an idea that grasped the eternal or lasting qualities of life. I hope you notice the distinction of prayer for the individual and the community in our very order of service every Sunday. We join in a community prayer that focuses on a collective affirmative idea for our church, our community, our nation, our world. And I will often, in contrast, at the end of a lesson, invite you into a visualization or inner prayer that is for your own development, for your own inner imagination of how your life is evolving. So we have a time that we pray together for the good of all, and then we have a time that we pray individually for our own understanding, peace, healing, and development.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook, and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.